something this morning and you wanted to ask, and of course there wasn't a chance to do that earlier. So if you, was anyone not here this morning? Anybody? Oh, you were in children's church. Okay. So, yes, I'm headed to Kenya. I've been serving in Southeast Asia for the last however many years it is since 2000. Anybody born in the year 2000, however many years ago that was? Are you serious? That was your year of birth? How many years ago was that? 22. Okay, so yes, 22 years. Oh, I'm open for any questions. Rick was throwing some at me this afternoon and said, you know, we've answered those, so we don't have to go over that again in church, you know. So, but is there anything about the ministry, or maybe you are wanting to go into the... Christina, is that you? No. Okay. Based on all of the above, I'm at about 60%. So that's one of the reasons we pushed back my departure date till January, so that I could share in a few more places here and get the word out for not working. I said not working because I saw the microphone. I was like, is my mic not working? My brain going the wrong way. But anyway, so that's one of the prayer requests I had this morning was open doors here in the States, that I would be able to share the work in a few more places. So hopefully we can get a few more people on board, because I did lose some support during the 2 years of surprise furlough. Well, not a surprise to God, but it wasn't in my plans to be in the States for the last 2 years. And then also the cost of living difference in Kenya compared to Indonesia as well. So about 60%. Yes, ma'am.
Will you be doing... Oh, thank you. Hi. What will you be doing in Kenya? Will you be teaching Bible classes, or what will be the type of work that you'll do?
So I'm hoping that my primary focus will be working with children, actually. And you saw, if you were here this morning, saw that there are several different directions that could go. We have a lot of children in the neighborhoods around the church that are just dropping in to play or something. And so we have some opportunities for outreach there. Also going into the schools and teaching classes in the school. And then kind of indirectly, by training teachers, Sunday school workers, so helping in the Bible college, maybe to train those young people, like mentoring into ministry, as Pastor was just mentioning, you know, not just going out and doing it, but like having someone come alongside and doing it together with them. So that's the focus. Mm-hmm. So could be a little bit of everything.
Sounds good. What city will that be?
I'm going to start in Nairobi, which is the capital city. That's where both the Meslers and the Wambuas are. Not like in the city center, but kind of on the outskirts of it. The Wambuas have started, I think, 4 or 5 churches. They're actually, if they've been here this year, then you probably know that they're getting ready to launch another church plant.
Wow.
So might get to help with that as well. There's actually a young man that was brought up in their ministry there, and he's going to actually be leading that church plant. Jimmy, let me get the right word. No, not Jimmy. Jimmy's the son-in-law. It's the son. Juma is the family name. So Pastor Juma, his first name escapes me at the moment, but you remember him, Pastor Juma and his wife, Faith. They're going to be the ones who are going to launch that new. It's in a newish subdivision, so new housing is going in. They've already purchased the land and have some tents set up for the beginning of that ministry. So hopefully we'll be able to help with that as well.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Jenny?
And Southeast Asia is still closed right now. When it opens back up, do you plan to go back, or are you just going to permanently stay in Kenya?
In Kenya. Okay. That's a good question. A lot of people have questioned that. During this past couple of years of waiting, the Lord has redirected me. So I have actually officially resigned from the group that was in Southeast Asia, and I don't currently have any plans to rejoin that team. So I'm shifting over to Kenya and plan to stay there as long as the Lord, until the Lord directs me to a new place.
Right.
So that's it's a definite turn and a new chapter.
So I'm just curious, as one of our missionaries, is there anything in particular you wished our church was doing for you as a supporting church?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. No, I am so appreciative of people praying for me, but I also pray for my supporting churches. And a lot of times I pay for the pastor because I know who the pastor is. But when I came to church here this morning, I would say probably more than 50% of people were new, people that I haven't met yet. And that's great. I mean, that's wonderful. It means every year reaching out. But at the same time, it's I would like to be able to pray for the church intelligently. So I was talking to Jeff yesterday, and I said, thank you. He will send an email every once in a while. Not every week, not every month, but a note saying, hey, we're praying for you, or maybe he'll mention something that's going on here at the church. So I would love to hear from people in the church, what's going on here at home, because we get kind of disconnected being out of the loop, so to speak. So I would love to hear from you. That would be a great blessing, just to know what's going on back home and things that I can be praying for. The other thing, I mentioned that George, Finoka, and Lexi, I believe they've been here, they had kind of started this ministry of bringing teams over and doing short-term missions. So if that's something that the church might be interested in doing, I'll be so excited to kind of be a part of organizing that and helping make that happen. Not everyone's called to go into foreign missions full-time, but maybe you're a young person and you're thinking, I think the Lord might be calling me to do that, but I'd like to kind of check it out first. Or maybe you just want to use your vacation time to go and share the gospel in another country. So if anyone has a burden for that, has a heart for that, or maybe you feel like I can't go, but I could support a young person who wanted to go and make it possible for them to take that trip, I would love to partner together with the church in that way. So those are two things. Let me know what's going on, and let me know if you'd like to come and help and join.
I'm kind of a new member, so I was wondering, what auspices do you work under? Independent Baptist Missions, or
mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's International Baptist Missions is the name of the mission board, and it's located in Chandler, Arizona. It used to be Tempe, so to remember that. It's affiliated with the church and the Bible college that I graduated from in Arizona.
Okay.
So,
and could you give us, it'd be good if we could have, a hard figure so we can pray for the money that you need to still receive, for your work over there. And I'm hoping that you get good benefits through your missions group, and that the worker is worthy of his hire. And I'm thinking, you're doing such a good work, and and I want to pray that you get all that you need and more, right?
Thank you.
So maybe, I don't know how you do that.
We are praying to increase the monthly support by about $1,200 a month, and then the initial startup cost. And that, I don't have an exact number, but I'm thinking maybe around $3,000, because I will have to set up an apartment when I get there. And as you know, you were in the ladies group this morning, I travel with my suitcases, so I don't have anything to like set up a home. But the Messlers helped me to do some price checking, and I think it's around that. So that would be the initial to set up a home there. Planning to get an apartment close by the Wambuas for security and safety reasons, and at least until I get used to everything. So not planning to get a car. As I shared, driving in Kenya is a little scary. So planning to just use Uber, I think. So that would be like some exact numbers that we're looking at. So we're launching off in January. Thank you. You know, I actually prepared a separate presentation for kids, and it talks about the food and the animals and all the fun things that kids usually want to know about in other countries. So I think the staple food is something called ugali, and the closest thing I can compare it to is like grits, because it's made of corn, and it's ground and it's cooked. But it's a little bit different from grits in that it's very stiff. Like you cook it, you can actually almost cut it like a piece of bread. But it's that consistency of like stiff, and they have that with everything. So that would be like a staple. Like instead of potatoes or rice, they have ugali. There's no really good English translation for it. I've never seen anything like it here. It's okay. I don't know that it's going to become one of my number one favorites, but maybe it'll grow on me. Yeah, lots of vegetables, all the... Well, the cows and the goats I saw lots of. They were just walking along in herds along the streets in the city. So there's plenty of those. And chicken. I think I had a little bit of everything. But maybe not quite so much meat as... perhaps a typical American might eat. Depends. If you're a vegetarian, then he'd probably be right at home, because a meat is expensive, so he wouldn't maybe eat it for every day or every meal. But yeah, and I didn't see a lot of like dessert. Not really much fruit. Yes, lots of lovely fruit, but not really like cookies and cakes and kind of sweet things. Maybe less diabetes over there. I don't know. I was trying to think if there's anything else that I hadn't mentioned. I was really drawn to the Bible College. I didn't talk about that very much this morning. They've started a small Bible college. Its purpose, its reason for being is to train pastors and Christian workers. I mean, that's all they're doing. So it's not you don't go there to become anything else, to go into any other kind of vocation. So, but the young people that are attending the college, they're not necessarily maybe planning to be a pastor, but they want to be like a right-hand person in the church. So they want to get that solid training foundation in the Bible so that they can be Sunday school teachers for both adults and children. But they can be a deacon that can be part of the counseling and coming alongside. So there's some really wonderful young people I got to meet, but probably... I want to say couple dozen, so we're not talking about a lot, but most of the pastors of these churches that have been started over the past 20, 30 years are graduates of that small Bible college. Some of them are now teaching in the school as well. So I'm really looking forward to coming alongside of some of those young people and ministering together with them, encouraging them, helping them. There were a few young ladies that I got to work with when I was there, and they're single. They're maybe not like fresh graduates, but they're in the workforce already, and they're thinking, you know, can I serve the Lord as a lady? And I'm saying, of course, yes, you can. I mean, qualification for serving God is not marriage. He wants to use anyone, whether you are married or single or widowed or divorced or whatever. Your marital state doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you can serve Him. So I was really excited to see these young ladies who are thinking, wow, I don't have to make finding a husband the first priority, that I can just jump in wholeheartedly and start serving the Lord right where I am. And I'm excited to be that role model and come alongside and be an encouragement to those young ladies. And they're very sweet, very warm, friendly people. They're the kind of people that you meet them and then you feel like you've known them your whole life after, you know, the first 5-10 minutes, because they're just so loving and welcoming. So if you do come, some of you are thinking about that already now, I know, be prepared to have lifelong friends. There was a few ladies that were there, and they said, oh, you're from that church in Arizona. Do you know so-and-so? She came over here, 8 years ago. We still remember her, and so it wasn't just some foreigner was here, but they knew her by name, and they're like, oh, yes, and we have, you know, we keep in contact with her, so be prepared to have lifelong friends if you ever get to come and meet some of these wonderful Christian people in Kenya. Yes, Jen.
So I know we talked a little bit, the climate, it's on the equator, and it's up high, so it's not really hot, but what is the average, what's the temperature like compared to Hollister?
I don't think it gets quite as hot. Okay. Because of the altitude. I think they said it's around 5,000 feet, so not quite a mile high, but it's close enough to the coast that it doesn't get very hot, but it doesn't get cold either. I don't think there's any snow. So it's fairly mild, maybe 60 to 90, and it stays like that pretty much all year round because it's on the equator. So.
And you did okay with the 5,000 elevation? It didn't make you nauseous or dizzy or anything like that? You didn't notice anything?
No.
And then also, how about the language? Are you going to have a translator, or are you going to do any language study while you're there?
Kenya is an English-speaking country, so I was able to minister, even during that short 6 weeks that I was there, in English, both to children and adults. Once the children start school, they're using English every day. I did see, though, in elementary schools, when I went in to do some of the Bible classes, that a lot of their posters and things were in both English and Swahili, which is the trade language in Africa. So there are lots of different languages in the tribal groups. So that's their mother tongue, you would call it. But most people can speak both Swahili and English. So I'm actually working to learn Swahili. I know Asante, thank you, and some of those early words that you need to learn straight up. So Asabui Mjema, good morning. So I am working on, I hope to be able to understand at least basic conversation, even by the time I go back. But I can use English, and that does make it easier. And that's another reason why you could come and do a short-term trip, because you could talk. talk to people and they would understand you and you would understand them, which is makes it much more enjoyable trip.
In relationship to neighboring countries, are there a lot of South Sudanese in Kenya?
Yes, if you've kept up with Pastor George's prayer letters, he had started a ministry with South Sudanese refugees that have come into Kenya, mostly women and children, because the men are the ones still working, fighting, going on there. So, yeah, South Sudanese do not speak English as readily as the Kenyans do. It's not as widely spread there. George spoke Arabic, so he was able to minister to these displaced people more readily because they also speak Arabic. But that ministry is still ongoing. I think somebody told me that Audrey Henderson has been here fairly recently, so she's been in Kenya for a few months now, and she is working with the South Sudanese already. That's especially with the children, and because it's primarily ladies, she's able to lead the Bible studies as well. I think the oldest male is like in high school, so no men in the ministry because it's mostly the women and children who have come into Kenya as refugees.
Forgive me, I'm slow of wit. I'm trying to connect a little bit more in my mind your working relationship with the Wambuas and the Metzlers. I haven't quite figured out, like, are you working directly under one or the other, or are you kind of independent but in the same area? Will one of them be your pastor? Will you be attending one of their churches?
All of those questions have not completely been answered yet. We are still discussing that amongst us. So the way Pastor Messler describes it is a team of IBM missionaries there. So the Messlers, the Wambuas, Audrey, myself, and there are several different churches that have been started. I believe when I first go, I will probably join Pastor Wambua's church because it's closer to the Bible College, just geographically and traveling, at least at the beginning, that will be safer and easier for me to learn the lay of the land. Also gives me access to the young people in the Bible College, but probably also helping with projects. Like I said, the new church plant that the Jumas are going to be starting is in a whole different area from those two, so kind of like a triangle. So maybe going over during the week and helping with passing out flyers or talking to people about the new church. But training, a lot of times, well, I shared this morning we did like a one-day seminar, so all of those people from all those churches were invited, and they all came together at one location. So sister ministries, sister churches. So I'm not going to start my own ministry. I'm just going to support and help what they are already doing. And all of those details haven't actually been finalized yet. But that's the plan currently. And some of that will be kind of figured out after I get there and we can see. I may teach a class in the Bible College, especially in English department, because ESL is kind of what I've been excelling in the last 10 years. So helping with, like, writing the papers, or I'm not sure exactly about all of those details yet. We're still working it out. I have a few months to kind of nail all those questions. But that's probably under Pastor Josiah at first, and with the ability to go and help with others ministries as well. So that's why it wasn't clear, because it's not really clear in my head yet either. I just got back from Kenya just a couple of weeks ago, so we're still negotiating. We're still talking through some of those details right now. Was that, were you waving? Yes. Yeah. No, okay. Oh, okay. Just the cows and the goats that were like roaming around on the streets. I did not go on a safari or anything while he was there, but there are some like very nearby. So there's lots of big game parks, even just right there near the city, so you don't have to go very far out. The baptism that we had that day, they just had a, I don't know what, a little pool there. They built it outside of the church, just right there on the Dead Josiah's church. I think it's inside the building, so very similar to here. At least where I was. Now, I don't know what they do in the villages when, you know, farther out, but no river baptism. We did some Singapore. Indonesia, too. Lots of river baptisms. My email is on my prayer card. I forgot to mention this morning, but I left some at the back. And I forgot to bring it again tonight. I forgot this morning, and I forgot again. I had a sign-up sheet. If anyone is not already getting my prayer letters, like by email, and you would like to receive it, just shoot me an email, and I will add you to my list because I forgot my paper. We could write it. It's probably safer for you to write to me first because sometimes I can't read people's email and then you never get it. Or I type it in. You wrote it perfectly, but I type it in wrong and then it still doesn't get to you. So my cards are on the back. They're on one of the tables back there. They get moved. Okay. So, and I'll leave some extra ones with the church office if those all get picked up. Pastor has my email address as well, so I'm sure he'll be happy to hand it out if somebody asks for it. Yeah. Yes.
They're emailing you. You had to be cautious of certain things you could say and certain things you can't. Being in Kenya, is it the same way, or can we?
No, Kenya's
freely.
Kenya is open.
Okay.
So you don't have to be as careful.
Okay.
So maybe that will take the pressure off of some people. We're just
right.
Afraid to write. Yeah.
Sure.
So. Yeah. Kenya is open. Once again, thank you. Someone asked me this morning, what's it like to be a missionary? I'm like, well, that's a very broad question, but I would say it's wonderful because you know that God is the one directing your footsteps. Well, I hope that all of you know that, whatever your vocation is, but you get to just be on the front lines of going out and talking to people, sharing with them. You get to devote all of your hours to serving the Lord full time. And some of the perks are you get to travel the world and eat ugali and other interesting foods. So it's wonderful to be a part of the Lord's work and to share Jesus to every tribe and nation and tongue. And I'm glad that he's letting me continue. I had thought after the 2 months stretched into 2.5 years, thought, you know, is the Lord just saying, that's it? You're coming back to the U.S.? I mean, not that there's not work to do here. There is. But he has opened this new direction for me to go, and I'm really excited that I get to go again. So very thankful, and I'm very thankful for all of the friends and new friends that will be praying and reaping that same harvest with us. She asked about medical facilities. Because I'll be in Nairobi, it's fairly well developed. So I got to visit the hospital while I was there. In 6 weeks, I managed to get an infection first week. So yeah, but you got to be careful what you drink. Anyway, so yeah, I had a good experience and was able to get medication, be seen right away, and so yes. I don't know what will, if I'm out in the what they call the bush country, I don't know what it's like there, but much better than it was 30 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The hospitals are open, and there's doctors that speak English, so that makes it a little easier to visit the doctor. You can actually explain what's wrong. That's good. Pastor, thank you. If you think of any more, shoot me an email. I'm pretty good about answering, so I'm glad to share anything else.